My guest at this time is Betsy McCoy. She's the former lieutenant governor for the state of New York, and she's been one of the leading voices in opposition to the Obama health care laws that have been now law for nearly 3 years, although they're not all fully implemented. She's the author of the brand new book, Beating Obamacare, Your Handbook for Surviving the New Health Care Law. So we want to talk a lot about the book. We also want to get her thoughts on some of the latest developments in the implementation process here. And Betsy, it's always good to have you with us. Thank you.
Well, thank you. And Americans are already getting clobbered by some of the unexpected consequences of this law. For example, most people get their coverage on a job, their own or their spouse's, and many of them are already being told that their employer is dropping coverage coming next January. Next year, about 8 million people could lose their coverage, but in fact, others, such as McKinsey & Company management consultants, have estimated that as many as a third of employees could be dropped by their employers.
Let's get your reaction real quick to what we've been seeing in some of these states. Some of the leading voices in opposition to the president's health care law now, maybe reluctantly, maybe not so reluctantly, agreeing to their states expanding the Medicaid program. John Kasich in Ohio, Rick Snyder in Michigan, Jan Brewer, Arizona, most recently and perhaps most notably, Rick Scott, one of the leading voices against the president's health care plan down in Florida, now agreeing to that. Why do you think they're doing it, and what do you make of their decision?
Well, first of all, they're doing it because for most politicians, Medicaid is a verb. It means spend, 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 and then hope that the federal government will pick up the tab. And they have bought into the idea that the federal government will pay 100% of the cost of this expansion the first 3 years and then 90% afterwards. But in fact, they are lining their states up to be bankrupt in the future because the federal government usually breaks promises. And once the federal government bamboozles these states into expanding their enrollment and also loosening their eligibility standards and really enriching the benefits, then the federal government can break the promise of paying for it, and the states will literally be facing bankruptcy. They won't have enough money to fund their schools, their highways, their law enforcement, because so much money will be going to expanded Medicaid.
And with this many people being added to the Medicaid rolls, what will that mean, if anything, to the quality of care that they get, given that the number of doctors that are out there who won't take them now?
Well, in fact, Medicaid, unfortunately, is already low-quality care in many places. For example, one study shows that surgery patients on Medicaid are 50% more likely to die after surgery than surgery patients with private insurance. In fact, they even face a higher risk of dying than patients with no insurance at all.
Let's talk about some of the other precepts in your book now. Again, it's entitled Beating Obamacare, Your Handbook for Surviving the New Health Care Law. We've talked about the Medicaid expansion. Another thing that the governors had to decide on was these exchanges for health care, whether or not the states would run them or whether they let the federal government do it. Most of the Republican-leaning states have allowed the federal government to do it so they don't get saddled with the cost of that. But you say these exchanges that are set to be in place by October 1st, for the most part, if not entirely, won't meet that deadline. What happens then?
Well, it's very interesting. First of all, the president has promised Americans that they will see so many choices on the health insurance exchanges. The only thing the exchanges are going to be selling is the government-mandated essential benefit package. So no matter what brand name it has, Aetna, Cigna, Blue Cross, Blue Shield, it's going to be the same one-size-fits-all type of health plan.
And this is going to be the Cadillac one where they have to make sure everything's included like we heard so much about, or is it going to be more of a bare-bones variety?
It's going to be the essential benefit package, which is going to be loaded with mandates, and therefore it will be very expensive. The cheapest plan, according to the IRS, the cheapest bronze plan for a family with three kids will cost $20,000. That's $20,000 for the premium, but you'll still have about 40% of your health bills to pay out of pocket. That plan will only cover about 60% of the cost of your health care. And by the way, don't be bamboozled when you hear these words bronze, silver, gold, or platinum. Despite those fancy-sounding names, it's not like Tiffany's. Those plans will all be the essential benefit package. Only the copay and deductibles will be different. If you pay up for platinum, you'll have a smaller copay when you go to the doctor.
And we talked earlier, Betsy, about these private employers most likely deciding just to pay the penalties rather than continuing to jump through the government hoops and providing the coverage, given it'll be much less expensive for them to pay the penalties. So what happens to these folks then who are stuck between not getting their coverage from their employers and having to look at these exorbitant costs potentially from the government plans?
Well, that's right. Many people who will be dropped by their employers will have only two alternatives. Either they go on Medicaid, or if they earn too much for that, they'll be shopping the exchange, or they will decide to pay the penalty themselves and be uninsured. That's very unfortunate, but it's quite possible that 40 million people will still be uninsured in 2014 because these options are not very attractive. There are other things to worry about. If, for example, if you're accustomed to telling your doctor things that you wouldn't tell anybody else, now is the time to really talk to your doctor about keeping two sets of books, because once the doctor is compelled under the law to enter your treatments in an electronic interoperative database, you can bet that thousands of people will be seeing your information, including, according to the president's latest announcements on gun control, probably federal agencies doing background checks. Another thing, if you're a baby boomer, line up your doctors now, your internist, your cardiologist, because if you wait until you turn 65 and go on Medicare, you will not be able to find a doctor willing to take you on as a patient.
Why will the doctors keep you if you have them first, if they're still having to
deal
with the Medicare program?
Well, doctors rarely drop patients when they become Medicare eligible, but they are very worried about taking on new patients because Medicare is going to pay doctors less to care for a senior than any other kind of patient.
Now, the president said, I believe in a State of the Union message, he certainly has said it in other places, that as a result of this law, already we're seeing slower increases in the rise of health care premiums. From what we've already discussed, you seem to suggest that's either misleading or not the case at all. What's your read on his statement?
I would say that that is preposterous. Health care spending was rising very slowly when the Obama health law was passed, 3.9%, 4% a year. Those were the slowest increases in many decades, over half a century. But now you will see premiums rising very, very quickly. And it's a simple reason. There is no tooth fairy when the law requires insurers to cover much more. Kids on their parents' plans till 26, all kinds of preventive care like mammograms without a copay and contraceptives and a long list of things like vision care and dental care for children. Once insurance companies have to cover all of that in a policy, what they're really doing is forcing the public to pay for all of that in a policy. In other words, pay a lot more for your insurance.
Betsy, well, there's obviously been different points where opponents to the implementation of this have had a chance to see success. It didn't happen at the Supreme Court. It didn't happen at the ballot box in November. A lot of these states now agreeing to take part in the Medicaid expansion. Is this a fait accompli at this point, or is there still an opportunity to roll this back?
Well, certainly I believe that when Americans are clobbered with the dramatic decrease in quality of care in hospitals, with the high cost of premiums, with many people losing their coverage on the job, they will reassess and likely make a political decision in the coming years to repeal or vastly change this law. Seniors, of course, get clobbered the hardest because cuts to Medicare pay for over half this law. And the cuts to what hospitals have to spend or can spend are so severe that you're going to notice a dramatic decrease in quality of care in hospitals, with nurses spread very much thinner on the floors. You push that button for help, you're going to wait a lot longer.
Betsy, what else have you noticed in how this is likely to be implemented, and perhaps maybe a little bit in the area of what some people are fearing will be rationing?
I'm very concerned about how quality of care will decline very substantially in the near future. And there are some provisions of this law that are really quite frightening. For example, Section 3000A, which awards bonus points to hospitals that spend the least per senior. Imagine that. I mean, I wouldn't take my dog to the vet that spent the least per animal. Why would I take my mother to the hospital that spends the least per senior?
A lot to keep in mind as all of these changes take place. Betsy, congratulations on the book. Thank you again for being with us today.
Thank you. I hope you enjoy it. Beating Obamacare.
Beating Obamacare, Your Handbook for Surviving the New Healthcare Law, is the book. Betsy McCoy is the author. She's also the former lieutenant governor in the state of New York. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.